you have your Bibles this evening, find, if you would, please, the sixth chapter of the book of Acts. I know that we were in the book of Acts earlier this morning. I trust that you'll be able to find your way. I want to say thank you for being here. Thank you for this good crowd tonight. I made a plea for our people to return tonight, and you're here, and I love you, and I appreciate that in a wonderful, wonderful way. I began a series this morning in the book of Ephesians entitled The Power of Love, and I am excited about preaching through this book and watching what the Lord has to say about, or what the Bible has to say about, the influence and the power of love in our lives, especially in the life of our church corporately, but in the life of God's people individually. And we looked at this morning about the importance of loving the Lord. And I ended both messages today with a simple question: do you believe that God believes that He is your first love? Do you believe that God believes that He is your first love? I've been thinking about that statement all day and that question all day. And really and truthfully, when you stop and begin to try to think what God thinks, it's very humbling. Very humbling. It's very easy for me to say one thing, but it's a very, very difficult thing to pause and to think, what does God think about my life? And so as we begin to make our way forward in the book of Ephesians, and we begin to see how that church, the Word of God grew and it mightily prevailed in and through those people. And really and truthfully, it mightily prevailed in and through those people as the love of God shed abroad in their hearts. And I made a statement this morning that I absolutely want the Word of God to mightily prevail in our church. And I know that you desire that or you would not be here. I want it to prevail in our church corporately. And I want it to prevail in our church as individuals. And so pray that God will continue to direct and to organize the thoughts in the book of Ephesians. But I want to start a series tonight that goes hand in hand, part B to a series. And I want to take the next 5 or 6 weeks and kind of preach to you a series entitled Church Decorum. Church Decorum. Not decorating, okay? You heard me, right? Church decorum. I was curious that I had the right word for my intent, so I picked up a Webster's Dictionary. You know, since we got the iPhones now, we don't really need those dictionaries. I never realized how thick a dictionary was until I picked that thing up just a little bit ago. The word decorum carries with it the idea of behavior. And so really and truthfully, I want to preach a little bit about church behavior. I want to preach about it corporately, and I want to preach about it individually. And I'm finding that it's my responsibility as the pastor to feed the flock. And sometimes my assumptions get in the way and prohibit from what I think God wants me to do. And so God has revealed that this is an area where He wants me to park a little bit. And so I want to read you a passage of Scripture tonight. I want to break it down for you. And I want to preach a little bit about church decorum. Would you pick up with me, please, in verse number 1, chapter 6. The Bible says this: "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a what, class? A murmuring. The murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, 'It's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And the saying pleased the whole multitude, And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenes, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Now watch this in verse number 7. And the word of God did what? It increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. For you to understand what's happening here in the 6th chapter of the book of Acts, you need to understand the first 4 words of the chapter. The Bible says, in those days. Now, when you go back into Acts chapter 2, you realize that Acts chapter 2 is Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 is when the church was originated. The church was filled with the Spirit of God. You know that in Acts chapter 2, Peter began to preach with the fullness of the Spirit of God, and thousands of people were saved. In chapter 3, in chapter 4, thousands more are coming to Christ. And there is an explosion of the gospel of Christ and the reaching of people. In chapter number 4, the church begins to face some persecution from without, and they begin to suffer a little bit. Chapter number 5, they begin to face a little bit of persecution from within them. There's some deceit from some of their members. You might know these people, Ananias and Sapphira. They lied against the Spirit of God, and God in one church service killed them. Now, could you imagine if that's the way the Spirit of God operated today? Nobody would come to church, right? And so God killed them right then and there. You will find that in the end of chapter number 5, the disciples and these new believers are still facing some persecution. If you pick up in verse number 41 of chapter 5, it says this, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They had been persecuted for the name of Christ. That didn't discourage them or defeat them. They were encouraged by that. Now, verse 42 was their practice. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach, say his name, Jesus Christ. Okay, so in the beginning of the church, they're going forward there, and they are going to house and everywhere they can go, and they are preaching and teaching the name of Jesus Christ. In the midst of preaching and teaching the name of Christ, thousands are getting saved. And the church is experiencing tremendous growth. I mean, growth at a rate that is almost unattainable. It's hard to keep up. It's hard to manage. And things are happening. It really and truthfully is the blessing of God. It's in the midst of this growth that a problem develops. And the problem in verse number 1 is there's a problem between the Grecians and the Hebrews. Now, the Grecians are not Greeks. They're Hellenists. They're part of the Jews there, but they let the Greek culture come in, and that's the way they were kind of living their life. And there was a problem here between their widows. And the Grecians felt like that their widows were not being cared for like the Hebrew widows were being cared for. And they felt like there would be a neglect there. And this feeling of neglect was a strong feeling. Now, go back, if you would, to chapter number 4. And I want to show you something here with verse number 34, just to give you a little precedence. This had been part of their behavior. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto, what's that word? Every man according as he had what? Need. Okay, so as the church began to grow, the practice in the church was they were meeting the daily needs of one another, and they were faithful to do that. What happened was there was an explosion of growth that took place, And in the process of that growth, there was a perception there, and the perception was that somebody was being treated better and somebody was being neglected. And it was a very, very, very serious problem. It had the opportunity to cause tremendous harm. Now, I want to stop in my story right here, and I want to help you with a little bit about church decorum. And I want to help you a little bit about our church. Growth is a wonderful thing. And we want to see people saved. We want to see people baptized. We want to see people discipled. But even growth itself can come with problems. And I said this morning, the more people you have, the more opportunity you have for problems. I think it's important for you to understand that there is not a church in the world that doesn't have problems. Okay? All churches have problems. Now, one of the most lethal problems in a church is when somebody feels neglected. Neglect is a problem that a relationship cannot handle. Men, you let your wife feel neglected, she'll find somebody who gives her attention. Ladies, you neglect your man, and you will find that he will be attracted to somebody who gives him attention. Nobody can handle neglect. And nobody can handle feeling like nobody cares about them. That's what the word neglect means. It carries with it the idea of caring. So you have Grecians who love their widows. You have Hebrews who loved their widows. The gospel has unified these two groups into something called the church. And there is wonderful oneness inside the church. And so as the gospel has unified them, there's been the behavior of meeting everybody's needs. And now there is a perceived problem that somebody is being neglected. I would submit to you that neglect is a problem that is still, that churches are still facing today. That might be you. You might be sitting out there and you might think, man, this church cares about everybody except me. I would say it's human to think that way. I would say that the devil, in knowing how you think or knowing the situation there, he will make sure to reinforce that in your mind. How does that get reinforced in churches? Well, it gets reinforced in churches if somebody thinks, well, nobody cares about me. And I say, now everybody turn around and greet and shake hands. And we shake everybody's hand and we get right to that person and we go here. Or everybody gets invited to something and they don't get an invitation. A church email gets sent out and they just don't get the email. Or there's a remembrance of other people's birthdays, but there's not a remembrance of their birthdays. Now listen, these are normal things that happen inside of churches. These are things that can lend and lead toward neglect. Pastor, I suffered a problem and my feelings weren't cared for, or my position wasn't cared for. Therefore, I have this difficulty and I feel neglected. Nobody cares about me. Now, we have about 600 people that faithfully come to our church. Our church rolls are hundreds more than that. The caring of the church cannot be the pastor's only job. You got to hear me on this. I have the greatest ability to offend people more than anybody else in this church. And I have the most ability to show neglect. Now, I want you to know something. I work very hard to express my love to everybody in this church. pretty much I could start right here and start with Pat and make my way back and name everybody and name your wife and name your children or name your husband and go on and so forth. But there's no way that I can always shake everybody's hand or remember everybody's situation or do this. I need help. If you understand that, would you say amen?
Amen.
Okay. Or I need help. So people can't handle neglect. No way in the world. But problems like neglect are not intentional problems. They're problems that just kind of happen. In this case, it happened because there was growth going on. And I don't care if we run, however many people we run, everybody in our church is important. Everybody. Not everybody thinks that. You'd be amazed at how many times I hear things about, well, Pastor, this group of people is esteemed higher, or this group of people is esteemed lower, or this clique here, or this, that, and so on and so forth. Whenever you have humans, you have sin. Okay? Whenever you have humans, you have sin. This human included. And so you're always going to have these kind of opportunities or these problems where neglect is available or it's perceived or so on and so forth. But I got news for you from your pastor's heart and from the heart of the people of this church. We love each other. We love each other. So they've got a problem. Now this problem of neglect could have been a lethal wound. A lethal wound. So what happens here? If you look at verse number 2, the Bible says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and that we should serve tables. All right, so this is how this little murmuring starts. Murmuring always starts by one person's neglect who shares their feelings, and they share their feelings to somebody who may also feel neglected, or they may know somebody who also feels neglected. And then so one thing goes to one person and one thing goes to another, and pretty soon you got it went from a whisper to a murmur, and now it's a little bit louder, and so on and so forth. And so this is spreading through. And basically what they're saying in this passage is that church doesn't care about me. But that's not true. They were meeting the needs of everybody there. They'd faced some growth and some problems, and they were trying to catch up to themselves, but it wasn't a malicious intent of neglect. So then what happens is that problem is brought to light, and that problem is brought to leadership. Now, I'm the leader of our church as the pastor, but I can't know about every problem. And I don't know about every time that somebody may get their feelings hurt, or somebody is mistreated, or somebody runs into a difficult situation. And so what happens is these things happen, and nobody says anything. And so instead of them coming to the light or to the leadership, they get festered and buried in the depth of darkness, and that problem begins to take root. Now, when something begins to take root, it gets anchored. And when something gets anchored, it's very difficult to get that root out. So part of you as a church member, part of you is loving your church, part of you is helping your pastor, part of your responsibility is not necessarily to be a tattletale, but when you understand that there is a difficulty or somebody's feelings have been hurt or somebody has been mistreated, you need to go to that person. You need to express your love and concern for that person. And then you need to say, hey, we need to bring this problem to the leadership of the church because this problem needs to be fixed. The problem is, very rarely does anybody want to bring it to the leadership's attention. Now, I want you to hear your pastor's heart. There is nobody in this church that I wouldn't want to fix your problem. Do you understand that? There's nobody in this church that I don't want to fix your problem. So it goes something like this. I don't know if you have a problem in the children's ministry. I'm so busy on a Sunday, I can hardly breathe. Man, when I go home, I'm in a dead drenched sweat. I eat. I try to watch the Dolphins, which puts me in the flesh. And I go to sleep. And then I wake up begging God, God, I got to preach tonight, man. Fill me with your spirit. Let's go. So I don't know if you had a problem. I don't know if somebody cut you off in the parking lot. I don't know if some way, somehow you felt neglected. But if you begin to share that neglect with somebody else, which I guess is human, I'm not killing you for that. But if you begin to share that problem with somebody else, somehow, if we've done something wrong in this church, we want to fix it. We being me. But I don't know how to fix it if you don't tell me the problem. So I have faced this recently. We had a problem. And this person was already gone. They were already leaving our church. And this is why I want to preach this message. Because most of the time, when people feel neglect, instead of bringing the problem to light and allowing the problem to get fixed, they just go somewhere else. That is not right. It's not right. So this person was gone. Praise the Lord, this person had a good friend in this church. And the good friend reached out to me and said, Pastor, do you know about this? I don't know about this. Tell me about it. Pastor, long story short, made a phone call, made an investment. And praise the Lord fixed the problem. Now, if I'd have never known about that problem, that person would have been gone. Marvelous person. Hurt and wounded deeply with neglect. But just buried under the thought, nobody cares. Well, I got news for you. We do care. Faced it even today. Last week, problem. I didn't know a person had a problem. I didn't know they were struggling with this. I didn't know they had that problem in that area. Came to my attention. Got on the phone. Got in communication. Tell me the problem. Tell me what happened. How did we do this? What's going on? Pastor, this is my heart, man. This hurt me bad. I am so sorry. Let's fix the problem. Praise the Lord. Today, the problem got fixed. So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say this. You got to help. You got to love the Lord enough to recognize that people have been hurt. Somebody has a problem. Somebody has neglect. And if we don't stand up and lead in a righteous way, the devil's going to root that problem and drive people away. Now look me in my four eyeballs. Do not assume that I know the behavior of everybody in our church. You can't assume that. Also, don't assume that the pastor supports the behavior of everybody in this church. I don't even necessarily support my own behavior sometimes. But you can't just assume that. So there's this problem. These people feel neglected. And it's a deep, lethal wound that could happen. That problem is brought to the leadership of the church. It's brought and it's made known. And so immediately they begin to work on the problem. Now look how they begin to work on the problem. In verse number, pick up with verse number 3. It says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among, say that word. Oh, no, you missed it. Let's go back. Verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you. Okay, so there's a problem of neglect. It's brought to the leadership. And then the leadership then involves the church. And the leadership says, now we got to look out amongst ourselves and we've got to find people who are honest, verse 3, who are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And so they went and they went into the church to help. And because the leadership knew that there were so many people that it was something that they couldn't handle by themselves. And so your pastor is coming to you tonight in a message preaching on church decorum. And I'm telling you that I need your help. I need your help. I don't need you to be a tattletale. But if you know that somehow somebody has been wounded by the ministry of Plantation Baptist Church, you need to encourage that person to come with you and come sit down with the pastor or the leadership and let's get the problem taken care of. We have an enemy. You have an enemy. And his name is not Tom Hunter. His name is Satan. He has a problem. If you let it take root, you did wrong. If I neglect the problem, I did wrong. But it takes a church help. Now look what kind of help it takes there. It says in verse number 3 that these were people that were full of the Holy Ghost. Verse number 5, they chose people full of the Holy Ghost. And so the importance of our church and our people being spirit-filled and holy people ready to meet the needs of people. Now the problem is most of the time people just run away. They just run away. They just go to some other church or they go to some other situation or they stop and they don't allow the Lord to do a work in their life and they don't allow the Lord to do a work in the life of their church and they don't allow the Lord to do a work of reconciliation. They just run away. Running away from a problem in a church is never the answer. It's never the answer. Happens though. And then as they found people full of the Holy Ghost, look if you would at verse number 6. It says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had, what's that word? Prayed. When they prayed. And so this was a praying church. They were praying over the problem. This problem was going to be met. It was going to be overcome. It was a legitimate problem in the perception of these widows that they were being neglected. It was not the intent of the church. It happened because the church had exploded in growth and things were moving along. And so it happened unintentionally. Once it was brought to light, it was immediately addressed. It wasn't addressed with feelings. It was addressed with the filling of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't addressed through gossip or through deceit. It was addressed through prayer. And it wasn't addressed per se just by an individual. It was addressed with the help of the church family. And then there was a reconciliation there. If you look at verse number 5, the plan really pleased the whole multitude. The Bible says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. And look at the result of this being done this way. Verse number 7. And the word of God did what? Increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And so instead of this problem being lethal and dividing a church or causing harm in a church, they approached it from the right vantage point, and through the Spirit of God, it was able to be turned around and to be a tremendous blessing of reconciliation and a tremendous blessing for a platform of spiritual growth. Now, let me link today's message with tonight's message. This is what love does. Love covers a multitude of sins. So, if I love the Lord, first in my life and I wrong somebody, then I ought to want to make it right. Okay? If I love the Lord first, and I feel like I have been neglected, I ought to want to make it right. Amen. And so, the offender and the offended, both loving the Lord, ought to want to make it right. Now, if the person who's been offended doesn't want to make the problem right, they want to let it just grow and root into bitterness, and they want to run away, there's absolutely nothing we can do about that. But those people run away without God's blessing. That's right, amen. And if the person who did the offending doesn't want to humble themselves, then that person will have to face the discipline of a church. It will have to face the humbleness of the Spirit of God, and those people will be dealt with. But there is not a problem that a church faces that cannot be met with love. Amen? And so church decorum is this. You as a church member have a responsibility to your church. You have within a church members. If you know you're a member, say amen. Amen. You have next regular attenders. And then after regular attenders, sometimes you have people that come and go. Then you have your once a monthers. Then you have your once every other month. Then you have your C&Es. Christmas and Easter. You have all kinds of different levels in a church. And a pastor has to deal with this. I literally have people who don't come to church regularly, don't ever call me, don't ever say anything. They just show up when they want to, don't show up when they don't want to. And then God forbid something happened to them and I didn't know about it. They hate my guts. You're laughing. It's true. They hate my guts. Well, that preacher don't care about me. I do care about you. So you have different levels of people. But if you are a member and you're a regular attender and you love the Lord and you love your church, you have a responsibility to look out for one another. Yeah, you do. And I'm telling you as your pastor, when you hear murmuring, you're responsible for what you hear. You're responsible for what you hear. So what do? You either, as filled with the Spirit of God, meet with those people and say, listen, sister, listen, brother, this is the devil's involved here. We got to get this fixed. Now let's go and let's make sure that love reigns. Well, yeah, I can believe that about Pastor. You have responsibility and I have responsibility. And we will all stand before the Lord one day. Okay? Now, in any church, the pastor always knows the inner workings of certain situations to some degree more than the average church person. So I do know some things, but I don't know everything. And I need your help. And I need you to love your church enough to recognize when there's a problem, which are legitimate problems, that happen because we have people. When you have people, you have problems. The Bible says, where there's no oxen, the crib is clean. We got a lot of ox, and you just put two and two together. Okay? So, you're outside on a Sunday morning, And some family is slamming doors and they're saying, we're never coming back to this church again. How dare they treat my child that way? I didn't know they treated it. I'm in here. Pastor, there was a family out there. You might want to reach out to them. They were saying that this happened inside the church and so on and so forth. Help me. Help me. Help our church. Help the Lord. And if there's a true love for the Lord in a person's heart, you're going to want the problem to get fixed to the glory of God. Okay? The worst thing you can do is be hurt inside a church and then run to another church. Because what's going to happen is you're going to find every church has problems. And you're going to find that your spirit is going to be bothered by that. And you're going to find that it's not going to be the way. It's better if Malcolm offends me, which he does often. It's better that it gets worked out between me and my brother in our home church for the glory of God than for me to run away someplace and bitter and let the root of bitterness dig into the soil of my gut. Bitterness will destroy you and it will destroy a church. So these are some things that people don't think about. And these are some things that as they come up with inside of our church that I just want to let you know about your responsibility and how we approach these certain things and how we handle these things. Because we want the Word of God to prevail mightily. We want the Word of God to increase. No one can handle neglect, nor should anyone handle neglect. If you come across a problem and you understand that somebody's been neglected, go to that person. Help that person. If you're the person that's been neglected and you're sitting there and you feel neglected, you need to let it be known. Pastor, that hurt me. That wounded me. That wasn't right. And I'll probably end up saying something like, you know what? That absolutely wounded you. That absolutely wasn't right. And we need to make this right with the Lord. Because at the end of the day, all that matters is that we're right with God. Yes. Amen. Our church has faced some of this. Because our church is growing at a pace that's not easy to keep up with. Well, Pastor, I just won't come. That's not the plan. But we're reaching people. And this is why it is so important that you know who you're sitting around. This is why it is so important that you get to know one another. This is why it is so important that we relate. This is why it's so important that man, if somebody's not here that you normally sit around all the time, call them. Hey, brother, sister, so-and-so, I noticed you weren't in church today. Are you okay? I do that. You think that I look you in the eyeball and I know everybody that's here, but most of the time I'm looking at the top of your head because the frown on your face discourages me. I don't know. You gotta help. That's your responsibility, to love one another. That's right. Do you understand your preacher's heart? Okay. I do. I understand what God has for us. We're doing well. We're reaching and winning people. But I don't want there to be cracks that people fall into because they feel neglect and perceive that problem. If you're aware of that, go to that brother, go to that sister. Let's work this thing out for the glory of the Lord. I want to say one final thing as your pastor. I would purposely never hurt you. Amen. I would purposely never hurt you. If in some manner I do hurt you, or I do offend you, or I do neglect you, or I did forget you, you got to tell me. Pastor, you hurt me. I will weep and I will beg your forgiveness. And I will do whatever I can do to make it right. I am not a hireling. I do not do this job because I get paid to do this job. I do this job because God called me to do this job. And I love my people. And I miss you when you're not here. And it hurts me when I get phone calls and people say, I'm never coming back. Because I had no idea. They never gave me a chance to make it right. They just left. That hurts me. But then the great comforter comforts my heart. So if I have wounded you, come tell me. I'll tell you if you wound me. You've never hurt me. You've done nothing but love me and my family. It's a privilege to be your pastor. But we got some people that feel neglected, and I need your help. I need your help. Let's pray.